Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 328 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here. How are you?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you.
Manic one this week?
It is. We've got loads on.
What's coming up then?
Music from Ian Prowse.
Yeah, Pele, Amsterdam, and a new single, which is a collaboration.
And coming to Wolverhampton.
Yeah, he's at the Slade Rooms very soon. We'll hear all about that.
We'll also be speaking to Grace Ruston, who works for Compton Hospice, but she's on a grand adventure this week to the Grand Canyon.
Yep, there's something to look forward to. She's heading off, probably even as you listening to us now. Briley Hill Musical Theatre Company have Guys and Dolls taking place from Wednesday through Saturday. It's at Briley Hill Civic Hall. We'll find out about that and hear a song from the show.
And we will be talking veggie vampires with Chris White.
Yeah, he's got a gig over in Brum during the half-term holiday and so we head up towards Halloween. So we'll let you know all about that later on. And also we'll be hearing about Hiroshige's Japan from the curator of the exhibition that's on at Wolverhampton's Art Gallery through to the 21st of November. But first of all, 2016 sees a school showcase and Into the Hoods Remixed arrive at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre. The showcase is on Wednesday the 27th of January and Into the Hoods Remixed is from Thursday the 25th through Saturday the 27th of February. But what on earth is all this about and how does it work with Zoo Nation Dance Company? To tell us more, Claudia Gilmore, hello.
Hi there.
How are we doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you guys?
Oh, all good here.
Very good.
Yeah. Good.
So what on earth is a Zoo Nation Dance Company?
So Zoo Nation is a hip-hop and street theatre dance company. So they specialise in hip-hop and street dance, but they use theatrical elements to really tell a story throughout their performance. And Into the Hoods is a bit of a twist on some traditional fairy tales, which I'm sure we'll all recognise if we come and watch it.
Now, this is something that actually first premiered back in 2006, and so it's gone from strength to strength since then, hasn't it?
That's correct. They've revised it for this brand new national tour. They've got brand new music to go with the show, brand new performers, so it should be a really brilliant show.
And what can people expect initially from the schools event?
From the schools event, that will contain 12 local schools who will each perform a 5-minute piece. They've all been trained by a professional dance practitioner who has worked with Zoo Nation and been hired by Zoo Nation and the Grand Theatre. So they will perform a 5-minute piece, each school will, which will be based on a nursery rhyme, but with a twisted edge. So it will have a bit of a dark, kind of exciting edge to it. And they'll use their street and hip-hop dance routines, which they've learnt, and perform it in front of an audience at the Grand Theatre.
Right, very good. I presume there's no words or anything like that, so it's purely just through the art of dance that these stories are going to be told, and costume, I suppose, as well.
Yes, exactly. Mainly through the art of dance, and also costume and props can play a very integral part to that. But they can characterise themselves using vocalisation if they want to. That won't be using words, but if they want to kind of make sounds, then that's completely brilliant.
So Wednesday the 27th of January sees that on stage. Tickets are priced at £6. What time of day is all that on?
We're going to have two performances. We're going to have a matinee performance as well as an evening performance. Times are to be confirmed.
So check the website grandtheatre.co.uk as we get closer to time for that one. And it's going to be all the schools involved, parents, kids, whatever, they're going to want to come along and see their colleagues or family taking part in this, aren't they?
Yes, we're really hoping so, but we also want to invite any members of the general public to come and see what an amazing project this has been and the culmination of the project. Because whilst they're performing, we'll actually have two members of Zoo Nation in the audience and they'll be selecting dancers with really amazing dance talent to perform in a curtain raiser during Into the Hoods when it's at the Grand Theatre in February.
And all this has been supported by Arts Connect as well, hasn't it?
That's correct, yes. Arts Connect West Midlands have worked really closely with the Grand Theatre and they've given us a lot of funding to support the project. So we're really excited to be working with them on this.
Yeah, so a load of work going on behind the scenes.
Is the whole idea behind it to try and get young people interested in dance? Is it something perhaps that has fallen off a bit over the last few years?
Yes, exactly. So we're trying to support teachers in engaging them within dance projects in the school and also benefit the students by getting them to really work with a professional performer and an experienced practitioner to develop their craft within street and hip-hop, as it can be quite a challenging dance style for teachers to work with as part of the school curriculum.
Tickets go on sale for Into the Hood Remixed on the 9th of October. They're priced between £12.50 and £28.50, and that event itself takes place on Thursday the 25th through Saturday the 27th of February 2016. So it's one to put in the diary. Keep checking back at the website, grandtheatre.co.uk. You can also buy your tickets through there and print them, or you can call the box office on 01902 429212. But Claudia Gilmore, Head of Creative Learning and Education, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Zoe, time we took us some music from our artists this week.
Yes, please.
Now we've got Ian Prowse and Pauline Scanlon. This is Mississippi Beat.
I'm singing my heart from the well of my seat, with eyes in the back of my head. I'm reading the rhymes that I thought I would need, but I can't hear the fictions I've read. And it's not the first time I've swallowed my dreams and hope that it drinks like wine. And Liverpool wasn't really your cup of tea, and London's not a cup of mine. You are the one for me, and I was the one for you. My heart, there's a Mississippi beat calling my name, calling my name.
I'm singing my heart from the well of my seat, with roots seeping into the earth. The salt in the air never tasted so sweet. Every breath feels like my first. When you hear the river of music beating, the clouds and the mountains reply. No picture.
Ian Prowse and Pauline Scanlon, Mississippi Beat. Let's go to the phones where we find Ian Prowse now. Hello.
Hi there, mate. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm not bad, you know. Not bad. It's quite a nice day here in Liverpool. Quite warm.
All the better for hearing your single as well, no doubt.
Oh, well, thank you for playing it.
No, it's good to hear. And it's good to hear your work. I mean, I know you from Pelé days, as I was saying, talking to your PR company. Fair Blows the Wind for France was actually one of the anthems of my time at uni in Liverpool. So you got some good...
Back before the war.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got some good play on City FM back in the day.
We did, yeah, we did. And people still remember all those songs, you know, because they were real radio-friendly tunes. So, you know, people really enjoyed them.
Well, you're doing your bit with Amsterdam as well, and actually coming to the Little Civic in Wolverhampton on November the 6th.
Absolutely, yeah. Slade Rooms, where we played three times before now, and we always have a brilliant night. And it's going to be even better, this one, because it's the opening night of our tour. So, yeah, bring
Looking
it
forward
on.
To it. I was going to say, everybody that comes to Wolverhampton say they have a great reception when they're here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a great place, you know. I've been playing in the West Midlands for 25 years. So I've got like lots of old friends, you know, from the Pele days and through Amsterdam. And now, you know, when I come into town. And of course, we've done lots of things with the Wonder Stuff over the years. We're obviously local heroes, you know.
Yeah, we had a chat with Miles a few weeks ago when they were out and about. So
yeah, well, Miles and his brother Russ always come to the shows when we play in the West Midlands. So, I'm very fond of the old place.
Well, tell us a bit more about Mississippi Beat, because this is from your forthcoming album.
Yeah, it's the first single, if we have singles these days, which is a duet with a friend of mine, Pauline Scanlon, who has, she's one of those people, she could read, you know, the back of a cereal packet and you'd start crying when you hear her voice, because she's such a beautiful singer. But she doesn't really sing in English that often. She sings in Irish, you know. I mean, she's from Dingle, which is the most westerly point in the whole of the island of Ireland. And we got to meet each other about 4 years ago. We were working on a thing called the Irish Sea Sessions out the Liverpool Philharmonic. We just became really good friends, and I went to her wedding in the summer. And I said, I've got this song. You've got to be the duet. You know, it's a broken-hearted love song. And I sent it to her, and she loved it. And we did it. You know, it turned out, when you imagine a song, how it's going to turn out, it turned out exactly how I wanted it to. So that's a joy.
That was good. Yeah. Did you write it or you know, create it with her in mind to start with, or was it when you'd finished?
No, not at all. It was written by a friend of mine called Jez Wing, and he originally had it as a duet as well, but he didn't know that I was going to ask Pauline. But the second I heard the song, I just went, Pauline Scanlon is the girl to sing this, because she has such a pure voice, you know, as you've heard. And she just makes me cry when I'm singing, you know.
And the tour itself is Amsterdam. So is Pauline going to pop along to some of these events, or have you got her on a backing track? How's it going to work?
No, I think Pauline is going to do London with us, I think, which is the night after Wolves. But basically, because Amsterdam is like a 7 or 8-piece band, you know, there's lots of us, and we've got other great girl singers, so they'll probably cover her parts when Pauline's not about. But yeah, for London, I think in Liverpool as well, we might get Pauline down as well. So but she's very busy herself, because she's very well known within the Irish folk circles. She's like kind of a bit of a star in that world. So she's out playing herself all the time, and you know. I think she's going to New Zealand next week to play.
So, yeah. So she's probably not even going to be in the country when you want to half the time, but there we go.
Well, you know, I get to go to Wolverhampton, she gets to go to New Zealand. I think I've got the better deal.
I think I agree with you, to be fair, but there we go. Slade Rooms is a fantastic place to spend your time, and it's a Friday night as well, which makes it even more fun.
Yeah, and it's the first night of the tour, you know. So, and we play all the old Pele songs. We play all, you know, Does This Train Stop on Merseyside, all the Amsterdam tunes that people know. And I've never had such a fantastic reaction to a new album as Compañeros has had. So there's plenty of tracks off that. So it's because I think I'm Bruce Springsteen, don't I? So we're just playing all night, you know.
It'll be brilliant fun, I'm sure. Yeah. So I'm allowed to indulge myself now. And can we take Fair Blows of Wind for France, please?
Yeah, go ahead, mate.
Okay, we'll do that. Ian, great speaking to you. Tickets for that one, just pop along to wolvescivic.co.uk and get yourself down there to the Slade Rooms and see Amsterdam, a.k.a. Pelly, which is really Ian Prowse and all whatever he wants to do live
yeah,
on stage.
That's it.
Ian, great speaking to you as ever. Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
Thanks, one.
Bye.
See you later. Bye.
Sang your song, she danced on tables, talking words like for this long before.
Fair blows the wind for France.
Briley Hill Musical Theatre Company bring Guys and Dolls to the Briley Hill Civic Hall from the 7th through to the 10th of October. That's a Wednesday to Saturday to you and I. To tell us more about it, I have their director and two of the cast. So George Stewart, hello.
Hello.
Tom, all right?
Hi.
Tom Robinson over there. And Emma Worrell.
Hello.
They are the gang. And George, this is unusual because you're not performing in this one, are
no,
you?
No, it's it feels a bit weird, but it's very nice. I've taken a step over to the other side of things now, which is quite nice, yeah.
So what prompted the directing debut?
Well, Anna Forster, who is my better half, she got involved with the company at a very young age and sort of grew up there, if you like. And then recently she got the choreographer's job for Guys and Dolls.
Yep.
And the director's job was still open and open for interview. So I went along, gave my pitch, if you like, and got the job. I was very interested in doing it, and here we are.
Well, how did this tie with your background? Because I know you've done shed loads of musical theatre, but what made you want to direct?
I think it's been getting together all this experience from... Well, I say all this experience, I sound like I've been around for decades.
You just finished the conservatoire in Birmingham?
Yes.
So yeah. You've just graduated, basically?
Yeah. With a classical music degree. But I've always had a very deep passion for musical theatre, and I think I always will do. It's what I've grown up with, again, you know, similar to Anna. So the opportunity was there, and it was an interesting thing to sort of try. And I knew I was having a gap year this year to try a few different things out, and I said any opportunity that came my way, I was going to take it. That was one of the big reasons for getting involved with Briley Hill.
And here you are.
Here we are.
So Emma, what's your role in this piece?
I play Sarah Brown. Sarah is part of the Salvation Army, so she is part of a mission looking to enrol people onto her mission to save people from their sins.
So this means you're not a doll, doesn't it?
I'm not. Well, I am.
Well, I think you are, personally, but...
technically, I'm a doll, because
yeah.
I am a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not quite like the other female lead character, Adelaide.
She's a little more reserved.
Yeah, a lot more reserved.
Because the piece itself, where's it set?
It's set in New York in the 1950s. It's essentially about a group of gangsters and their sort of everyday escapades, if you like.
And I think this is where we bring Tom in, isn't it?
It is.
He looks a bit gangster over there.
Sky Masterson, here he is.
So, yeah, tell us about your part.
Well, my character's called Sky Masterson. He's a bit of a Jack the Lad.
So typecasting so far.
Well, let's, yeah.
That's my thinking.
yeah, he's got the cock of the walk and he's a pro gambler, I'd say. He's very wealthy and likes to flaunt his luxuries around on stage, and he certainly is a man for the women. His role in the show is after Sarah Brown for a bet.
Uh-huh.
So he likes the bet. He's intrigued by her. Sarah's reluctant to go with him, but he wants to pursue it all the same, and then eventually he's going to fall in love with Miss Sarah Brown.
Well, yeah, whether he takes the cash or whether it turns out to
exactly,
be happily ever after, he's a winner either way.
Exactly.
Like to come and see the show.
Well, you have to go and find out.
Mm-hmm. So, you're going to do us a number from the show, aren't you?
Yeah.
What are we going to hear?
What are we going to hear? Director.
The director gets to speak at this point.
Absolutely.
What are we going to have?
So, Tom and Emma are going to perform their Act One duet, which is a romantic piece, but I won't tell you what happens. I won't spoil anything. It's a very famous number called I've Never Been in Love Before. It's a beautiful duet.
I've never been in love before. Now all at once it's you forevermore. I've never never been in love before. I thought my heart was safe. I thought I knew the score. But this is wine that's all too strange and strong. I'm full of foolish song, and out my song must pour. So please forgive this helpless haze I'm in. I've really never been in love before.
I've never been in love before. Now all at once it's you forevermore. I've never been in I thought my heart was safe. I thought I knew the score. But this is wine that's all too strange and strong. I'm full of foolish song, and out my song must pour. So please forgive this helpless haze I'm in. I've really never been in love before.
Oh, fantastic. Are you proud of them?
Absolutely, they're smashing. Good.
Glad to hear. So tell us a bit more about Briley Hill Musical Theatre itself, because to come in this and take the director's role straight away, I mean, there have been a few changes.
Anna and I come in as brand new to the production team, so I suppose you could say that the company's maybe had quite a severe change, really, with that happening. Mm-hmm. Paul Woodall, who's been musical director there for the past 3 or 4 years, he's returning. But yeah, we've had to really try hard to recruit a lot of people for the show. Tom and Emma are brand new to the society, as are a lot of the, I think perhaps even all of the principal characters. Minus one, perhaps, I think, are brand new to the society. Mm-hmm. But for one reason or another, we really have had to try hard to sort of encourage people to come along, I suppose. And I don't think that's an injustice to the show at all, because the show is fantastic and it's a brilliant piece of theatre.
But you tend to find there are people moving around. Obviously, I know you're from productions. You've been in across Wolverhampton, Bilston and beyond.
Yeah.
And that is the way it works. And I'm sure these guys, now they've got the taste for it, they're going to be involved in 2 or 3 companies throughout the Midlands.
Absolutely. I don't blame them at all. Yeah. I think that's just the way that we've had to get used to things being with musical theatre these days. People will just travel and do the if they see a show that someone's doing, they'll go for it.
But there are so many good people, and you need these stars, and they literally, we have a Midlands base of stars who are sort of aged between like 16 and 25.
Yeah.
And they're doing all this good stuff, and it's nice to see. From somebody who just goes to the theatre and watches, I'd love to be able to do this sort of stuff. I can't sing, I can't play music, I can barely talk some of the time. So, you know, it's I'm on the wrong side of absolutely all of this. But there we go. So the show is the 7th to the 10th of October.
It is.
Tickets available now.
They are.
So the box office number is 0845 658 8095, or you can go online at bhmtc.co.uk. How much is it to come along?
It's £14 for a ticket, which is definitely something that Sky Masterson would pay, and above and beyond, I believe.
I think so, probably, yeah. It's certainly within his character, but worth getting yourself there to see it. Good luck to you guys, break a leg, etc.
Thank you.
We look forward to seeing the Briley Hill Musical Theatre Company on stage at the Briley Hill Civic Hall from Wednesday the 7th through Saturday the 10th of October. Once again, that box office number 0845 658 8095 or bhmtc.co.uk. George, thank you for coming in. Thank you for bringing
thank
the guys
you
with
much.
You.
And, thank you.
We look forward
to
seeing more of your directing work in the near future.
Oh, thank you very much.
On Wednesday, the 28th of October, slap bang in the middle of half term, between 2 and 3 o'clock, madness descends upon the Library of Birmingham. To tell us more about it, the man causing the chaos, Chris White. Hello.
Hello there. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Yes, very well, thanks. A bit tired, a bit exhausted. Just got back from Vietnam.
You do tend to travel the world rather a lot, don't you?
I do, yeah. So from Vietnam to Birmingham.
See, he's a poet. He's a poet, and it's just obvious, isn't it? No, he was working again. You were educating kids across the world again, weren't you?
Well, educating is a strong word. yes. yes, I am. Yeah, international schools in Vietnam. Have you ever been to Vietnam?
I've never been to Vietnam, no, actually. No, I've missed out on that one.
Parts of it are supposed to be very nice, I've heard, yes.
It's lovely, yeah. I'd never been before, and it's a lovely place. You should go. You should do that.
I will put it on my list of things to do. I'll only go though if there's a really good poet on. So we'll have to see where we'll work that one out. Now, you're celebrating the launch of the book we talked about last time you popped in to see us. Robots versus Princesses versus Unicorns versus Hamsters.
Did you read that or did you remember it?
It's written down. And okay. So it's officially on sale. Is that what we're saying?
It is. You can buy it right now from where all books are sold.
Basically Amazon,
all
really.
All good books are sold. Well, yeah, not... Yeah.
And is it full of funny poetry?
What's a story?
Well, this one isn't poetry, is it a story? Yeah, this is a story, yeah. You know, I do like to have a go at writing stories now and again. And this is one of my better ones, I think.
And some lovely pictures with it, because what with you being an artist and all?
Yes, that always helps. Yeah, it's always good to be able to write the words and do the pictures as well. It saves somebody else doing it.
You haven't got to pay out for that.
One of them is that as well, you know, financially it helps a lot. I've only got myself to blame. If it comes out looking not very good, I can only blame myself.
Well, at least you know what you want from it, don't you? You know what design you want to do, whereas trying to explain it to somebody else might be a bit difficult.
There is not. I have illustrated other people's books, and it's a long, drawn-out thing.
Very good. Yeah, quality.
It's not a joke, is it?
That. Meant that.
So, what happens on the day, then? Yeah. Because if people want to buy the book in advance, they can bring it along. If they want to buy it at the time, they can.
Yes, I shall be bringing some with me. We'll have loads there. So I shall be doing, I don't know, about 45 minutes or an hour of a bit of a poetry and illustrating session. Lots of joining in, maybe a bit of singing. There might be some singing.
Ooh.
There might be some clapping and whooping.
Okay, no, I can clap and whoop, but I can't sing. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't either, so we'll be fine. We'll be all right. And just general fun and mayhem for a little while, and then I shall be signing some books afterwards and drawing little pictures in the books as well.
Which is always nice.
Yes. Have you preferred, you know, robot, princess, unicorn or hamster?
And what sort of age group is it all aimed at, the book and the
mostly Chris's age group, I think.
Yeah, kind of late 40s. Late 40s, sorry, yeah. Sorry, it's the jet lag. You know what? I would have said it was kind of from kind of 6 to kind of 12 kind of age, but whilst in Vietnam, I found myself having to stand up in front of a bunch of 18-year-olds. Don't ask, it's a long story. I had to give a little talk on how I became an author. And I had a copy of the new book with me, and I told them how it got published and things, and I couldn't get it off them. In fact, I left it there. It's still there in Vietnam. This bunch of 18-year-olds who I thought would kind of, not be interested in what I was talking about at all. I think every one of them, there's about 30 or 40 in the room, every one of them sat and read through the book. And at the end of the day, they had to write their highlights of their trip. And the book appeared in quite a few of their highlights of their trip to Vietnam.
I've had a little read through it. It's jolly good work. And I like the pictures as well.
Yeah, thanks. So I'd like to, so maybe 18-year-olds is probably...
Would like to come along as well and whoop and clap hands.
Yeah. Oh, the more the merrier.
Everybody can turn up, but you'll have a good time.
Everyone can.
Chris is a top bloke, very funny, and his poetry is sublime as well. So it's worth getting yourself down there. And so that's Wednesday the 28th of October, 2 till 3 o'clock.
That's right.
How much is it to get in?
It's absolutely nothing.
Gosh, that's a bargain.
But it's a fiver to get out.
So if you can get yourself over to Birmingham, you can go along to the library over there. He will not be charging to get out, but he would like it if you bought a book. And
yes, that will be nice.
You can get the book online now. And, of course, you can go along to your website. And as we are approaching Halloween, Veggie the Vampire, it's about the right time to do it, isn't it?
It is. Well, I might slip the poem of Bite the Veggie Vampire in there, actually, since it is very, very close to Halloween, yes.
Yeah, so veggievampire.com is your website.
That's right.
Brilliant. Chris, always good to speak to you.
Yes, and you. Yes, take care.
And
well, I'm sure we'll speak to you again, no doubt.
Hopefully for the sequel, which will be Robots versus Princesses versus Unicorns versus Hamsters versus, I don't know.
Something else.
What do you think?
Toasters.
Toasters, that's it, right.
Bit random.
Yeah, I'll do my best. Toasters. Yeah, for you, for you, right. I'll be impressed to see if he gets on with it, but there we go. Chris, good to talk to you. Catch up with you soon, mate.
Always
and have a good time in Brum at the end of this month. Okay, mate.
Will do. Thanks
Thank
a lot,
you.
Ta-ra for now.
Thanks, bye. Bye.
Let's take some more music now. It's Ian Prowse and his band's Amsterdam. Here is My Name is Desi Warren.
Up and down the nation, he gave the workers strength and courage. Up and down the nation, he taught us to prevail. He fought for safer building sites, he argued for a pound an hour. He was so successful that they put him in the jail. Some workers' leaders sent to royal garden parties. Some workers' leaders are sent to the House of Lords. Some workers' leaders, they go to jail, they go to prison. Which one sold you down the river? Which one fought your cause? The guard said, what's your number, boy?
Amsterdam, and My Name is Desi Warren. Hey, Zoe.
Yes?
Have you ever fancied doing anything completely mad for charity?
I have, actually. I've looked
those leggings.
These leggings are lovely.
They're for charity,
you.
Though, aren't they?
No, they're not.
Okay. But someone we know who is off doing something completely mad is Grace Ruston. Hello.
Hello.
You're heading off in a bit.
Mad's the operative word.
Yeah, Wednesday morning sees you flying off to the US, landing in Phoenix, in Arizona, before you go off and have a little tootle down the middle of the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, just a little tootle, yeah.
On Thursday.
Yeah, we land 9 p.m. Wednesday evening, US time, and we start trekking 6 a.m. Thursday morning. Yeah.
Oh, not much time to recoup at all, is there?
No. To say I'm nervous is a bit of an understatement.
So you signed yourself up. Obviously, it's a very good cause. It is for the place you work. It's Compton Hospice. And we know how much good they do and how they look after so many people. But those funds need to be got in. And in much the same way as you've had some daft events taking place at Compton in the Park over the years, this is just that one step further and you're in there.
It is. You know what, Jace? I managed to get away with it for a couple of years with regards to overseas treks. The hospice always do an overseas trek every year. So they've done things like Machu Picchu in Peru. They've done the Great Wall of China. And I couldn't get out of it any longer.
Great Wall of China, though, quite a cool, hospitable environment.
I've heard of that.
Basically to the hottest, one of the hottest places on Earth.
I've just checked, and it's 39 degrees at the moment.
That's hot. Have you got a hat?
Yes, and plenty of sun cream. With lows of about 3 degrees at night. It's gonna be a challenge, but like you said, Jace, it's for the hospice. I mean, I work there. I love the place. I get to see firsthand the amazing work that the doctors and the nurses and the support workers do. And I know that the patients that come to us and the family members are going through their own difficult times and challenges. So I thought it was high time to put myself through something a bit challenging and raise money for the hospice. And yeah. It sounded like a good idea at the time, but now with a day to go, I'm getting a little bit nervous.
Which still sounds good to us.
Yes. How long is the walk? I mean, how long do you think it'll take?
We're trekking for 5 days in total. So we walk to the edge of the canyon, down into the canyon, camp on the base of the canyon, and then come back out the other side. And that's the bit that's scaring me a little bit. It's getting back up, out, yeah.
Yeah, because it's not like you've spent 4 days walking before then just to wear you out, is it?
I know. But there's 9 of us going in total, so we're hoping they're all a lovely bunch of girls. All women, I must say. There were a couple of guys on it, but they dropped out. So, you know, we're doing it for the ladies. But a nice group, a mixture of hospice staff and volunteers, people who've had loved ones pass away at the hospice as well. So everyone's got their own motivation for wanting to take part. And we're determined to do it. We're determined to complete it. Push each other and most importantly raise lots of money for the hospice. We've raised over £15,000 so far between us.
Wow.
And we want to really push that. We'd love to raise loads more.
Well, that's fingers crossed. What's the Just Giving page? How do we get some people to sign up and give you some cash?
Oh, thank you. Well, we'd love to. Anything you can spare would be really gratefully received. So if you go to justgiving.com/grace-ruston, and you can make a secure online donation there.
Have a brilliant time. I'm sure, in spite of it all, it's going to be a massive experience. Yes. Yeah, you're going to really enjoy it, I'm sure.
Yeah, making memories that will last a lifetime, hopefully.
Well, I think the brightness of the sun will burn them onto your retina directly, to be fair. So you know, we're stuck with you for life, you're right. No, you have a good time. We will look forward to having a chat with you when you get back. I'm sorry, I love you really. And
thank you very much.
We'll catch up with you upon your return then, okay?
Thank you. Thanks.
Bye.
Let's take some more music now. This is Town and Country Blues from Amsterdam.
Get along, you've had all that you want.
Amsterdam there for our final time, Town and Country Blues. Hiroshige's Japan is on at Wolverhampton's Art Gallery right the way through until the 21st November, and this Friday the 9th of October sees a talk by the curator. Dr. Claire Pollard joins us on the phone now. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Good. Now, tell us a bit about the exhibition itself, because this is the Japanese art from the Ashmolean Museum of Art and Technology in Oxford.
That's right. It's a series of Japanese woodblock prints from the 1830s, and it's by a very wonderful woodblock print designer called Hiroshige.
And this exhibition itself is artwork which you probably won't have seen the likes of before, isn't it, to be fair?
Well, probably, which is one of the reasons why it's travelling round to different venues outside the Ashmolean. It's prints. Most people, I think, have seen perhaps the Great Way. That's an image that a lot of people are familiar with. But most of these prints, no, you won't have seen them before. They're wonderful landscape views of Japan with kind of quite humorous depictions of people and wonderful evocations of different weather conditions and snowy evenings and summer rainstorms and that sort of thing.
And is it the total collection of his works, or are there one or two that are out there?
Absolutely not. No. He was a really prolific artist. He produced about 5,000 designs. I think there are 21 prints in the exhibition. Mm. So just a few highlights. They're all from one particular series that he produced in between about 1832 and 1834, which were focusing on different scenes along one of Japan's major highways. So it's just one sort of theme and 21 prints.
What is the material used in these?
They're woodblock prints on paper, so it's...
This is just standard paper?
It's standard, but it's Japanese paper, and it's made from the inner bark of the paper mulberry, so it's really, really thick, strong paper, which is very good for using for woodblock printing, and the way the colours are added, the colours and the black outlines are added is by carving those patterns, the design onto woodblocks, and then printing onto the paper.
And is this sort of artwork what we see on, all these antique shows where they think they've got this hidden picture and it turns out not to be
If you've got one of these, it's going to be worth a bit, I'm going to guess, yeah?
Is it going to be...
It slightly depends. The thing about these prints is that they were produced commercially. They were produced by publishers to sell, and they were quite cheap. You could buy one of these prints at the time for about the same amount of money as you would pay for a large bowl of noodles. So they weren't fine art by any stretch of the imagination, and they were printed as long as they sold. So initially you'd have a very beautiful first edition set of, I don't know, about 200. And then if they carried on selling, the publishers would produce them again and again and again, and until some of these prints, because they were incredibly popular, this particular series, there may have been up to about 10,000 prints produced. And of course, by the time you get to the end of the 10,000 print run, the blocks have started to wear out, so that the whole print is looking a bit scruffier and the lines are breaking up. So depending whether you have one of the first editions or whether it's much further down the line would depend on how much you would receive for your print. Mm.
And I suppose when something is produced in such a mass market and at a low price, it does mean that a lot of them aren't really treasured as well, unfortunately. So looking for those really fine quality ones, it might be a bit more difficult tracking them down.
Well, it is hard. And of course, if you've got a beautiful print like this, the temptation is to put it up on your wall, which is great, except that the more it's exposed to light, the more it fades. So you do often see them, and the design is still shined out. The designs are really bold and dramatic, but they can be a little bit faded or a little bit dog-eared.
Mm. And where have all these pictures come from? Are they from different collectors, or are they all from one place?
Actually, the ones in the Ashmolean are nearly all from one collection. It was a man called Herbert Jennings who built up a collection of Japanese prints over the first half of the 20th century, and they all came to the Ashmolean in 1953 as part of a gift. There was a couple called Mr. and Mrs. Spalding who lived in Oxford, and they acquired it from Herbert Jennings' daughter, and so it came to us as part of a huge gift of over 700 prints, and about 220 of those are Hiroshige prints, so it was a major donation to the Ashmolean.
Well, if you do want to see those 21 prints of the 53 stations of the Takahiro Road, then you can go along to Wolverhampton Art Gallery until the 29th of November. The talk by the curator, Dr. Claire Pollard, who's already enlightened us very much into this exhibition, takes place on the 9th of October, 2 till 3 o'clock at Wolverhampton's Art Gallery. It is £3. You will need to book. You can go to wolvescivic.co.uk to book your place, or just give the usual box office number a call for the Civic. You can find that on the website as well. And you could be seeing and hearing all about these fantastic prints, and it's clearly something you're very, very passionate about, and I think it's a privilege for us all to be able to see these sort of works.
Well, I hope everyone enjoys it. I love them.
Claire, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
So that's your lot for this week, though.
It is. It's been very jam-packed.
All done, yeah, and we can go home now. You can carry on listening, though. You can get the back catalogue and everything at mobilepodcast.com. Yes. You can find it all on there.
That'll take a fair few years to go through. Well, days, sorry, to go
there's,
through
I think
that.
There are days, yeah. Yes, there's probably even months years. Now, it will feel like, but there we go. And we'll be back with episode 329 next week.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar, yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar, yeah.